Scripture reading this morning is taken from Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zachor, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Hesaniah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hekoz, repaired. And next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, repaired. And next to them, Zadok, the son of Baana, repaired. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles would not stoop to serve their lord. Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besadeah, repaired the gate of Yeshana. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them repaired Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jadon, the Moronathite, and the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, the seat of the governor of the province beyond the river. Next to them, Uziel, the son of Hariah, goldsmiths, repaired. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired. And they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Raphiah, the son of Hur, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. Next to them, Jediah, the son of Harumah, repaired opposite his house. And next to him, Hattush, the son of Hashabneah, repaired. Melchijah, the son of Harim, and Hashub, the son of Peath Moab, repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. Next to him, Shalom, the son of Halohesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired, he and his daughters. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Blessed morning, my brothers and sisters, and on behalf of the church staff and the leadership, we wish one and all a very blessed new year. On this first Sunday of 2025, we begin the order of service that emphasizes the centrality of the word that guides our responses to the word. That's why we have the scripture reading and the sermon, and thereafter, all the responses to the word. We also will recite the Apostles' Creed before Holy Communion. And furthermore, online communion continues to be a special provision for those who are sick, homebound, and their caregivers. And we want to encourage all those who are well and able to come on site to join us in person to receive communion in person. And all these changes were announced since early December. And in case you were away during the holiday, please do read the write-up. We have been including the write-up in the bulletin for many Sundays, including today, so that you know why we made these changes and all the reasons that is helpful for us so that we are more aligned towards a reform order of worship. And we also begin the new year with hope and anticipation for all that God will be doing among us. Having renewed our land lease for 30 years, we announced in September at our 181st anniversary service that we will embark on the BRP, Building Renewal Project. And it will start in 2026 at the earliest. And therefore, this whole year is for us to prepare for the BRP with the church team renewing our hearts, building as one. And we want to have a completed project with church unity, a renewed building with renewed congregation, larger premises with expanded ministries. And these are what we intend to focus on this year, and we have also included an important write-up in today's bulletin so that you will know what is ahead of us this year. And we ask that you read this write-up, because this is an important write-up, so that you know what is ahead. So with that, let us pray and we begin the sermon. Gracious God, we give thanks for seeing us through the year, so that we may start this new year with a profound sense of anticipation of what you would do in and through PSBC. May your Holy Spirit inspire us toward what it means for our hearts to be renewed, so that we will build as one, making all the necessary preparations for the building renewal project. For this we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In case you do not know it yet, you should know by now. You should know by today. I am a hero. Yes, I'm a hero, because Mao Zedong once said, 不到长城非好汉, which literally can be translated as he who does not reach the Great Wall is not a hero. In December, our family went to China, and we as a family became hero and heroines, because we visited one of the best preserved section of the Great Wall at Mu Tian Yu. And at Mu Tian Yu, that best preserved section of the Great Wall, we discovered that according to the history of that section of the wall, it was built during the 16th century, during the Ming Dynasty. And it subsequently was restored by the Chinese government in 1980s. It became a UNESCO World Heritage Site and one of the most popular tourist spots in Beijing. But the history of the Great Wall goes all the way back, even before the Ming Dynasty. Earlier on, when the first emperor, Qin Shi Huang, he unified China, he wanted to connect all the pre-existing walls into a defensive barrier against the invaders from the north. There were no official records, but according to estimation, he could have mobilized as many as 300,000 soldiers and 500,000 commoners, including criminals, just to build the wall. Hundreds of thousands died from accidents, died from exhaustion, died from torture. That means almost 1 million people were mobilized to build the wall. While a visitor might feel like a hero at the Great Wall, but we think about it, perhaps that feeling might be a bit mixed because of the immense human cost and suffering involved in the building of the wall. Perhaps there may be another wall-building project that we can find inspiration from. After the fall of Jerusalem, the Israelites went into Babylonian exile for 70 years until the Persian Empire came into power, and they were allowed to return back to their homeland. And we have completed the sermon series on the book of Nehemiah back in 2019. Back then, we recall that in chapters 1 and 2, Nehemiah was saddened by the news of the ruins in Jerusalem. So he was praying to God to ask for permission from the king to go back to Jerusalem to lead the people to rebuild the wall. And today in chapter 3, we shall draw out important principles to unfold our church team, renewing our hearts, building as one, so that we can prepare for our own building renewal project. We can see the first principle in verse 1. Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the ship gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. According to what we know about the topography of the city of Jerusalem in those days, the ship gate was situated right at the northern end of the wall. It was also the gate nearest to the temple in the north. It was called the ship gate because that was the gate through which the ship would be brought into the temple for sacrifice. It was called the ship gate. And the fact that it was the priests themselves who were involved in the rebuilding and in the consecration all the way to the Tower of the Hundred as far as the Tower of Hananel, it meant that the whole project expressed a spiritual priority. And therefore, the first principle before us is that it was a worshipful priority. And that principle of a worshipful priority must show the way for our BRP this year as we experience all the adjustments next year, and that we must maintain our worshipful priority all the way from beginning to the end. And the moment we take our focus away from God to ourselves, to our own hopes, to our own wishes, to our own desires, we will end up spiraling downwards. We end up quarreling, arguing about the color of the paint, the design of the tiles, the pattern of the carpet. And all these quarrels will take on a life of its own. We end up splitting the church. If we renew the church and end up splitting the people, we have failed. Therefore, we must maintain a worshipful priority from beginning all the way to the end. That must mark our BRP. After the Great Fire of London in 1666, Sir Christopher Wren was appointed the architect to rebuild many churches, including the famous St. Paul's Cathedral. The story was told that he was at the worksite. He saw three brick layers. He asked each of them the same question: "What are you doing?" The first worker said, "I am a bricklayer. I lay bricks to feed my family." The second worker responded, "I am a builder. I am building a wall." And the third worker replied, "I am a cathedral builder. I am building a cathedral to the Almighty God." That's how a worshipful priority looks like. And that must mark our BRP from beginning all the way to the end. We have the second principle when we examine the groups of workers who are listed in today's passage. It was not just the priest, the temple servants, the Levites who were involved. We see family units involved. We see professional groups involved. Perfumers, merchants, goldsmiths, they were involved in the work as well. And the mobilization of such diverse groups of people to repair the wall with one heart, one mind, points to the second principle, a total involvement. And what this principle means for the BRP is that it is not just the sole responsibilities of the church leadership, not just the sole responsibilities of the BRP steering committee, not just the sole responsibilities of the building management committee. Everyone part of this work, because we are in this together. We must remember that the church is people, and only then do the people have a building. And there are a few ways in which the BRP can be a total involvement. Firstly, our church leadership, generation ministries, and cell group, all these groups have been instructed to focus on bonding, unity, and fellowship this year. Church leadership, all generation ministries, and cell group leaders to focus on bonding, unity, and fellowship. Secondly, when it's time for the BRP steering committee to provide congregation updates, we invite the congregation to give your inputs so that this expresses your involvement in this project. Thirdly, we urge a collaborative posture. Why? Because there will be differing views when we ask for feedback. And in order that we do not end up being divided over the color of the paint, the design of the tiles, and the pattern on the carpet, we must adopt a collaborative posture to work towards the most optimal collaborative outcome that forges a consensus. That's how we express a total involvement. A total involvement was demonstrated back in June 2018 when 12 boys and their soccer coach, they were trapped in a flooded Tham Luang caves in northern Thailand. The rescue effort was a very difficult and dangerous mission, and it involved almost 10,000 people. You're right, you heard it right, 10,000 people. In addition to professional rescue workers, such as divers and soldiers, there were many volunteers who helped to pump water out of the flooded caves, to cook meals for the rescuers, to wash their clothes, and there were those who helped to provide massage for the rescue workers. Such a total involvement contributed to the rescue effort, and our BRP must demonstrate that as well. We have the third principle when we realize from the passage that the workers came from different places such as Gibeon, Mizpah, Jericho, and Tekoa. Why was it significant to mention all these places, that the workers came from all these surrounding regions? It was significant because even though these people were not based in Jerusalem in itself, they participated in the work in Jerusalem. Not only so, as we would read in the subsequent chapters of Nehemiah, while they were rebuilding the walls, they had to defend themselves from the surrounding enemies. And there were many enemies surrounding Jerusalem. And all this gives us, therefore, the third principle of a sacrificial commitment. A sacrificial commitment. The principle of a sacrificial commitment was demonstrated likewise during the rescue work. In addition to the Thai naval divers, there were also rescue workers and divers from other countries who risked their lives to participate in the rescue work. And furthermore, because of the need to pump water out of the caves, where do you place all this water? There was no nearby reservoir. So the farmers had to offer to give up their paddy fields to collect all the water that had been pumped out. And in so doing, they sacrificed their harvest to participate in the rescue work. So how does the sacrificial commitment look like for our BRP? Firstly, we will make every effort to try to streamline the works, to minimize the adjustments, to minimize the kind of inconveniences that people may face. We will do our very best. But in the midst of the BRP, we seek your patience, we seek your understanding. If you or your ministry will need to make necessary adjustments to the use of your facilities here in PSBC, we also seek your patience and understanding if you face some inconveniences. That's how a sacrificial commitment will look like during the BRP. Secondly, the EDC is going to embark on a cost analysis of how much it will cost if we were to need to raise funds, if we will explain to the congregation if we need to. And when that day comes, we urge the congregation, particularly communicant members among us, to express a sacrificial commitment, expression of your communicant membership, to give generously, to give sacrificially to the Lord's work. Thirdly, even as we call communicant members to be part of this work, we also want to extend the invitation to all those who are regular attenders. And regular attenders might be thinking, what does it have to do with me? No, it has to do with you, because we want to extend the invitation to you to share this journey with us. However that commitment might look like, whether it's your giving in your prayers, in your suggestions, we want to invite regular attenders to be part of this work, to share this journey with us. In the same way that the people surrounding Jerusalem, from Gibeon, from Mizpah, from Jericho, from Tekoa, they were all part of the work in Jerusalem itself. And that's how the BRP can have a worshipful priority, total involvement, sacrificial commitment. There was once a little girl by the name of Hattie Mae White. who lived near Grace Baptist Church in Philadelphia in the US. One day she wanted to go to church to Sunday school, but when she arrived at the church, she was turned away. Why? Because it was too crowded, she couldn't get inside the church. She was saddened that she couldn't attend Sunday school, and on the way out, she was crying. The pastor, Russell Conwell, saw her crying, and he asked her what happened. And she said, I wanted to attend Sunday school, but she couldn't because there was no space for her. So the pastor brought her in through another way and managed to get her into Sunday school. And on the way in, he told her, when we get the money, we will build a church large enough so that no children will ever be turned away. Sadly, 2 years later, Hattie died from a severe sickness. And so her mother invited the pastor, Pastor Conwell, to conduct her funeral. After the funeral, the mother passed to the pastor a little purse. A little purse which she found under Hattie's pillow. And inside that little purse was 57 cents. And together with those coins was a handwritten note. And Hattie wrote on that note, to build a bigger church so that no child will ever be turned away. The pastor shared this news with the congregation. And the news spread like wildfire. And the news was spread so much so that the newspaper published it in the papers. And there was a landowner who offered to sell a piece of land to the church, to the congregation, so that they could build the larger church building. But when he learned that the congregation could not afford the price he offered to sell it to them, 57 cents. And that news spread even further. The congregation gave sacrificially for the building work after buying the land at 57 cents. The public was also encouraged, and huge donations poured in as well. And one thing to another, the 57 cents multiplied to $250,000, a huge sum in those days. And from one thing to another came Temple Baptist Church in the city of Philadelphia, with a seating capacity of 3,300. No children, no one will ever be turned away. It all started with 57 cents, with a worshipful priority, total involvement, sacrificial commitment. So likewise, let us go forth this year with a worshipful priority, total commitment, sacrificial commitment, renewing our hearts, building as one. Amen. Let us all stand as we respond to God. O God, our Father, just as you had raised up Nehemiah to lead the people to complete the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, today you call us in PSBC to arise to prepare for the building renewal project. Lord, we ask that you will renew our hearts so that we will build as one, with a worshipful priority that will put you first and foremost, with a total involvement that expresses our congregational unity, and with a sacrificial commitment that demonstrates what it means to give ourselves and our resources to your kingdom purposes. Do a new work in PSBC as we begin this year, for we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Amen. Let us remain standing for the communion hymn.